Happy Thursday. The Ira Kaufman podcast is on. We are live at One Buck Palace. It's actually even Thursday, Ira. We're getting this thing done fresh, and it is game week. We are in game mode. Steelers on Monday Night Football. The star of the show is here, Mr. Ira Kaufman. How are you, Ira?
I'm doing well. I'm here to report to all our listeners and readers. Buck fever is spreading rapidly through the area. For example, I just did the identity week three with Derek Brooks, and I'm waiting for Brooks to show up, and he comes in the room, and he's got shades on, he's got bling, and he's doing his Ryan Fitzpatrick impression. Of course, he doesn't tell me to wear shades. Then he wants to give me a Catholic chain to wear around my neck. I told him I'm not doing it. He gave me the other chain. So even a guy like Brooks, who's seen it all through the years, and he's known for his stoical, you know, attitude, doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. He's caught up with Buck Fever. Lee, you get around town a little bit up in Spring Hill. What's the barbershop saying up there? Not that you've gone to a barber in the last 2 years, but go ahead. What's the pizza shop saying up there? Anything going on?
I've been so busy coming down here to One Buck, I haven't been out and about outside of going to Publix.
Supposed to be a man about town, Lee. What happened?
I was living in St. Petersburg. I was the man about town, but unfortunately, not anymore. You know, I'm getting old. Not quite like you, Ira, but I'm joking. But
the question is this fever going to spread to Monday night and we see it in the stands? That's a $1 million question right there.
$1 million question for me is what my investments are doing. I don't care.
Now, you say attendance is way overblown.
You're Chiefs.
Don't the players care who they're playing in front of?
They care. Their checks don't bounce. That's what they care about. I don't care if there's 30 people or 30,000 or 50. It makes no difference to me. I'm in no position to mock someone or wag a finger. You ought to be in the seats. I just don't think that's kosher because I'm sitting in air conditioning. I'm being paid. It's my job. I feel very uncomfortable doing that. If attendance mattered, there'd still be blackouts. The NFL would be more aggressive about getting people in the stands. So I know how many billions with a B they make off of TV, internet, etc. So
Steve, you're always monitoring ticket sales. What are you noticing on Fan Retreat? What's going on there?
I'm not always monitoring ticket sales. And I agree with Lee, except one area I do disagree is the NFL has pumped millions of dollars into the in-stadium experience. If they didn't care about drawing people, the Glazers wouldn't have updated the stadium, upgraded, and made all these upgrades, which continue every year. A home field advantage matters, right? If you have 40,000 people going wild for you, that's proven year after year that can make a bit of a difference in a game. But overall, if the Bucks have 5,000 empty seats this week or they're full, doesn't really matter.
There's always a lag between success on the field and packing a stadium. There's always a lag. Can't expect it to turn around after two games.
I suspect the Bucks fans, rank and file, they're happy, of course. But it's like wait and see. They've been teased before and ended up with a five win season. And you brought this up the last podcast. At least I remember correctly you did. You know, the Bucks jumped out to a 4-2 record by beating New Orleans at home on a Sunday night. Or at least it was late. It was dark when it happened. They intercepted Drew Brees like on the 5-yard line. Quincy Black, if I recall correctly. And it gave the Bucks a 4-2 record. And off to London they went. And that was it.
Must have been something in the water there that that Thames River. They must have did something over there.
Yeah. So
nobody saw that 10-game losing streak coming. Nobody.
Just like nobody thought they'd win the first two games of the year against the teams that did. So I think Bucks fans are hopeful, of course. They're happy, of course. But I think the rank and file is prove it.
Speaking of the 2-0 start, let it be noted, Izbits. We don't forget anything on this podcast that the Kemper was the man with his left arm up saying, "Yeah. 0-3. And we did not say that, Izbits. That doesn't mean we were going to get anything right the rest of the way. But we said they're not going 0-3. And you said 3-0 is a possibility. Here we are, going into Monday night.
Well, who's always undefeated, Ira, is Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, the proud presenters of the podcast at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. It's the Big Win sales event going on now. Right now, at least 2018 XT5s, only $339 a month. Hurry into Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. You can always ask for General Manager Brian Danahy. Tell him Ira sent you. EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com is the website, and you can get all the details. A lot of great offers at the website, as well as on JoeBucksFan.com. And at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, 11020 Causeway Boulevard. So easy to get to, Ira. Pick your car. Now pick your payment. You can play that game. It's not a game. It's for real at Edmores Cadillac Brandon. You can see it on their website, edmorescadillacbrandon.com. So many options for leasing with zero down and changing payments. And, of course, magnificent selection of pre-owned at Edmores Cadillac Brandon. Soon, we're going to have that date any second, Ira. John Cooper, Lightning head coach, very popular guy who endorses Edmores Cadillac Brandon. He's going to have a little get-together with fans out there, and we're going to be telling everybody about that. But their website, edmorescadillacbrandon.com, of course, 70-plus years of Edmores across the state of Florida. Both dealerships are fantastic. These are Hillsborough County's Cadillac dealerships. So, Iroh, there's a lot to get to on this week's game, this week's situation in the world of the Bucks. Jameis, lawsuit, this thing won't go away, will not go away, and some fascinating elements to that. But the state of the team. You mentioned that you hung out with Brooks yesterday, shooting for the Project Tampa 2, the Identity Tampa Bay, and JoeBucksFan.com. People have really been enjoying those episodes. A new one comes tomorrow where you guys really get into the keys to the Steelers matchup. But the team, Ira, right now, 2-0, you talk to Brooks, you've talked to people, you've studied this a little bit deeper yourself. Do you like the state of this team? When you compare them to the Steelers, where they are, and the state of this team, it's like night and day.
Lee, one thing that jumps out at me in this early season, and let's emphasize it is early, Lee, that it's one thing we're not accustomed around here.
2-0, right?
but beyond that. The Bucks are catching some breaks here.
Yeah.
The Bucks are that never happens. I don't know what's going on with the karma.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Tampa deserves something because of Red Tide. We're getting killed with Red Tide. We deserve a break. But let's go over it quickly. No Mark Ingram. Now, he's a sledgehammer on the Saints. You could say what you want, but the Saints couldn't run the ball in week one. It's not the reason the Bucks won the game, but it's a contributing factor. Week two, no Carson Wentz. No Alshon Jeffrey. You know, the Eagles got some nice pass catchers, but they're not explosive. Aguilar's catching 8-yard balls. He's not going to beat you that way.
He's a good receiver, though.
And here comes Pittsburgh, and I don't think it's a stretch to say they're in disarray. They're in total
Perfect
disarray.
Word. Perfect word.
You know, Tomlin's voice might be getting a little stale over there. They got these big personalities, including Roethlisberger. He's no day at the beach. A great player. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame, but... You know, he causes some distractions. No Bell. He's not playing Monday.
I don't know, jet ski.
We don't know what's going on with Antonio Brown. Apparently he's back, but he's disgruntled. And the defense is playing terrible. What better time to play the Steelers, Steve? We're not prepared for the Bucks to be catching breaks. You know, by going by this standard, Khalil Mack's gonna tweak his ankle this week and not be ready for the Bucks. The karma feels good about this team right now, Lee, besides how they're playing.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. You're absolutely correct. I mean, everything's falling into place. You almost hate to say that. You don't want to jinx anything. But everything's falling into place. Pittsburgh, and I said this with Rock Riley. I said, do you imagine all the drama between both teams? When's the last time a Monday Night Football game had this much drama on both sides? I mean, where is Howard Cosell when you need him? This is right up his alley, isn't it? You met Cosell once, you told me.
Oh, yeah.
So, where is Howard Cosell? This is perfect for him. You got the, you know, your starting quarterback, speaking of disarray, I guess Steve wants to talk about it. I'm sick of it. But at any rate, a backup quarterback.
Your former starting quarterback.
We'll get there.
All right, we'll get to it.
And Fitzpatrick, your backup is 2-0, and he's leading the league in passing. And on top of that, I mean, that's talk about karma. Who, again, I know we've said it over and over, be repetitive. Nobody saw this coming. Jason Light didn't see this coming. Dirk Cutter didn't see it coming. Todd Monken didn't see it coming. Ryan Fitzpatrick didn't see it coming. Nobody saw this coming, what Fitzpatrick is doing. So, yeah, not only the Bucks catching all these breaks with their opponents, they're catching breaks within the building.
And nobody else in the NFC South looks great at this point. Atlanta bounced back. Carolina's okay. And the Saints aren't playing very well. So it's all going Tampa's way, but it's very early, Steve. I know you're gonna throw a caution flag in there, as you do.
No caution flag, but it is early. It's two games. But the breaks, look, that's what happens in these types of seasons. If you really go back and look at the Bucks' 2005 season, when they went 11-5 and won the division, a lot of good bouncing balls that way on defense. It turned into fumble recoveries and just...
2010, things bounce their way a lot of the time.
Things have to bounce your way. Look at just the Saints game itself. Look at Chris Godwin fumbled in that game. And with three guys around and managed to recover that football, that was a huge play in the game. And not only if he doesn't recover that, maybe that even hurts his confidence going forward. So a lot of things are falling the Bucks' way, and it's a beautiful thing. Of course, that's going to be an interesting preview of our predictions for Monday, but you can't get the Steelers at a better time. The team's imploding. If the Bucks were doing what the Steelers were doing now, we'd be just talking about the next head coach and the team's imploding and everybody's biting each other's heads off. I think the biggest break the Bucks have caught, Ira, is that entire offense is healthy. And that's the strength of the team. No injuries on that offense, and somehow you won without Brent Grimes and Hargraves, who was playing better. So, wow.
Wow. Guys, they're playing a 3-4 defense. It does create some challenges. Of course, the Steelers are playing lousy defense. I mean, look what Mahomes did to him last week. Their defense wasn't even very good against Cleveland in that stupid tie. So, and they're particularly vulnerable against the run. I believe, Steve's Mr. Nugget is like I am, and I think it's 4.8 yards a rush. That's a big number.
That's a lot.
4.8, and the Buck rush defense is very good. I was asked the other day how concerned I am about the Bucks running game, which was not very good against Philly. But you have to realize, the Eagles are number one in the league at rush defense. That's what they specialize in. Then they try to get you in that down and distance. They're very good at it. I thought the Bucks ran fairly effectively in New Orleans. Not great, but fairly effectively, especially early. First half, Barber was effective. This will be a bigger test. If the Bucks run game goes nowhere on Monday night, I think there's problems, especially with the Ronald Jones situation. That's what's funny about this 2-0 thing, Lee. Nobody's talking about Noah Spence. Nobody's talking about Ronald Jones. When's Vita Vea coming back? Where's Grimes? Where's Brate? Where's Humphreys? Nobody is talking about that, because you with your deodorant, which you're obsessed with, when you're 2-0, you don't talk about those things. You talk about DeSean Jackson and Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's what you talk about.
And chest hair.
But sooner or later, Steve, you've been watching this game as long as I have. Sooner or later, when you don't score 38 points and 48 points and 28 points, these things become more major issues. So right now they're minor blemishes, but this can't keep up. I mean, let's be honest. Fitzpatrick can't keep this up.
I don't think so.
So there are some issues to deal with.
No quarterback could keep this up. So that's what makes this so incredible, is because now he's got back-to-back Player of the Week honors, back-to-back. That puts him, it's
that's
crazy.
That's rare company.
Rare company. And I checked it, Ira, you're correct. Steelers allowing 4.8 yards per carry, and it hasn't really been some small sample size. 63 rushes, that's 30 times a game. They're two different teams. That's a lot.
Their defense, Steelers' defense, hasn't recovered from Shazier's injury.
That's a common refrain. They haven't recovered.
They really haven't.
Against Jacksonville, they played terrible defense. And you're right. A lot of people think towards the end of last season, the Steelers were the best team in football. It's hard to argue against that. They lost to New England in a big game that determined home field advantage.
It was a close game, wasn't it?
So people thought, that's going to mess up the AFC title game. Well, they didn't even get there.
Yeah.
They didn't even get there.
Jacksonville pounded them pretty good.
And you can't give up 21 first quarter points, I think it was, to the Jaguars. Mm. You can't do that. Especially a defensive coach like Tomlin, Steve. He's got to be wondering what's going on over there. Maybe his voice is getting a little stale in Pittsburgh. Steve, I've always talked him up. I've always defended him against the Mad Dog, says he's overrated, and I always point to his he's got an outstanding winning percentage. He wins 10, 11 games every year, but Russo says he's way overrated, and it's going to be tough for me to make that argument right now.
He's only beaten Belichick once, has he?
Well, the argument is that
we're talking Belichick.
They lose to bad teams a lot of times. That I've heard that argument. The Browns or whatever.
Oh, they get tripped up.
With a record like that, that means he's beaten a lot of good teams too.
Sure.
So, bottom line is, Steve, there's no better time to play the Pittsburgh Steelers than Monday night. No better time.
Well, you know what? Instead of our usual end of the hour, let's get right into the predictions, Sage, where we're talking about the game. I'll let you kick it off with your sage wisdom. You're 1-1 on the season.
By the way, Javier, who keeps track of this, I want to throw out there that on the identity with Brooks this week, we take questions for the Don, 55. And Javier was one of the questions.
Was
he was the last one. And I mentioned on the air, I know this guy. He's from Panama. I looked at Brooks and he goes, Brooks goes, Panama City? You know, because he's from Pensacola.
Yeah.
I go, no, Panama, Panama. Brooks goes, oh, that's impressive.
Panama, Panama.
So this is for you, Javier. Panama. Now, look, I'm not getting off the Buck bandwagon. I'm 1-1. They're 2-0. I think they're going to be 3-0. What time to beat the Steelers? I don't think the Dungey Ring of Honor is going to have anything to do with this. Nothing. I think the fact is Pittsburgh's floundering. The Buck pass rush looked a heck of a lot better against Philly. And Foles,
yeah.
And Foles can move better than Roethlisberger. I think the Bucks are going to win this game 30-20. Bucks. What do you got?
Well, time to hack off Buck Nation.
There we go.
I said 0-3. I'm going to stick to my guns.
Oh, you're not getting 0-3 yet, the camera.
No, but I predicted that they would lose to the Steelers before. The Steelers are 1-1. 0-1-1.
Oh, 1-1.
A weird record, especially for them. But I just, you know, eventually Fitzmagic's going to run out. He's going to turn to a pumpkin.
So you got the bubble bursting Monday night.
And if it doesn't burst Monday night, I got him bursting on the shores of Lake Michigan with that defense.
One thing at a time, DeKemper.
Yeah.
What's your score? What do you got?
Oh, score? 30-28 Pittsburgh.
30-28 Pittsburgh. Okay.
We got a bonus prediction from Lee that we
a week ahead.
On the Chicago game. That was funny. I cannot bet on the Steelers just from a gambling standpoint. Forget about that. I can't bet on the Steelers. They're imploding. They're 0-1-1, and that's a terrible look.
Are they still a slight favorite, Steve? A slight favorite?
Don't know, Ira.
Okay.
Don't know. This is not one I'm calling Cousin Bob to make the bet in Jersey. This not for this game. But still, I don't see a reason to think Pittsburgh is going to snap out of this, and the Bucks' strength plays perfectly against the Steelers here. I'm going to go Bucks 31-28.
By the way, I want to emphasize, I hope I'm wrong.
I understand.
I hope I'm wrong.
I understand.
I just think, look, the offense is hot. It's healthy. Steelers, terrible defense. I think the offense is going to stay very aggressive, too. And I think that's a good strategy for this team.
That's a blitz-happy defense, the Steelers. And they got burned repeatedly by the Chiefs with Mahomes. And right now, Fitzpatrick's throwing as good a deep ball as Mahomes or anybody else in this league.
Oh, my gosh. I watched that a game on NFL.com last night. I think last night, or no, Tuesday, excuse me. Tuesday night I watched that game on NFL.com, and obviously a replay. Mahomes looks fantastic. Holy cow. He looks incredible, but then again, Pittsburgh's been screaming for cornerbacks for some time. I know they got the guy from, his name escapes me. He went to Florida. He was with Cleveland. Cleveland, of course, being the paramount organization for player personnel moves.
Joe Hayden.
Got rid of Joe Hayden. I hope you noticed that I have the tongue sticking out of my cheek when I said that. And he's been okay with them. Maybe you could say actually good. But Pittsburgh's been crying for cornerbacks for years now.
One of the keys, Steve, is to pick up those blitzers. And that's where Ronald Jones looked, you know, I'd be surprised if he's active.
Very surprised.
Pick up those blitzers and give Fitzpatrick time because there's going to be guys open downfield.
I got two words.
That's a big key.
Got two words for you. Peyton Barber. He's been doing that exceptionally well.
Yeah, he really has been, and look at that opening play, you know, corner blitz from the Eagles, a bit of a surprise. Fitzpatrick picks it up, Barber picks it up, touchdown.
And Fitzpatrick's seen every blitz imaginable. He has.
I got one for you, Ira. Mike Smith. You know, I've been pretty hard on Mike Smith the past year or so.
You have been.
Bucks once again gave up 400 yards. And I wrote this Wednesday morning on JoeBucksFan.com. Excuse me, Thursday morning on JoeBucksFan.com. I'm actually giving him a pass. I actually thought he did a decent job, and this is why. He's playing with a short deck. He's playing with rookie corners. The defensive line, half the defensive line's out with injury of some degree, some sort. And yet they're making plays when they need to make a play. I'm not saying they're stopping people because, again, 400 yards, that's the second week in a row. That's not good. But when they need a play, they're making a play. And so I'm giving Smith credit. I'm like, you're finding a way to win.
I thought the defense was okay, Steve. I didn't think it was exceptional. They are, as Steve pointed out, they are being carried by Fitzpatrick and company. There's no question about it. Give the O-line credit for pass blocking, not so much on run blocking. But they're forming a nice pocket for Fitzpatrick. But, Steve, the defense was okay. Lee says the Bucs were playing shorthand, so were the Eagles' offense. So was the Eagles' offense. Carson Wentz was arguably the MVP of this league until he got hurt last year. They didn't have their best receiver. Sproles didn't play. The left tackle went out during the game. He wanted a better Jason Peters. So I understand what you're saying, Lee, but they're still giving up 77% completion. Some of them are dink and dunks. I understand that. Steve, that number's got to come down to 67%, not 77%, because word's going to get around the league. You know, there's no penalty about throwing the ball against the Bucs. You're not going to be in trouble at all. Pass rush was okay, but I expect a little bit more.
Yeah, look, nobody's going to say the defense has been good, but it's been okay, and they've been playing with leads, and, you know, I don't know if how much that changes the whole plan, but it really doesn't matter. They won, and they didn't give it up, where in past years they've given it up. So
takeaways.
That's, it's not going to be good enough what they've been doing against the Steelers, but hopefully they do.
You know, ironically, guys, one point that I don't think's been made this week, that defense was on that field for 75 snaps. Now, I was down there at 10:15 in the morning, and it was unbearable. It was 105 heat index. Unbearable. I can imagine what it was at 1 o'clock kickoff. So my point is, you know, the Bucs scored 275-yard passes. One play, you know, and one play. I think that's a beautiful thing from a Buck perspective. But from a defensive perspective, you're not giving your defense a lot of time. Now, that doesn't mean I want them to grind it out for, you know, 14 plays, 85 yards, instead of just throwing a little cross, shallow cross to O.J. Howard and let him take it the distance. But, you know, there's a flip side to that, too. There's a flip side to a big play offense. Of course, we're not used to that around here. We don't know anything about a big play offense. But, you know, first play of the game, when you go 75 yards, now the Eagles are on offense. So 75 snaps, that's a big number, Steve, to ask the defense to be out there in those conditions.
I'm going to let people a little window into your work, Ira.
A little window?
Yeah. This
right.
is a little...
Is this a basement window, like the Bucs in the NFC South?
Well, a little two-foot window, you know, just... after the game, I was wanting to talk to Mike Evans, but you got to Mike Evans first. I was looking for something completely different than you were. I was going through my tapes, my recordings last night, and you were asking Evans some questions. I don't know if you remember Evans saying this or not, but he said, if we have a few one-yard scoring drives.
One-play scoring drives.
Yeah, we'll do okay. One-play scoring drives. What did I say, 1 yard? Yeah, one-play scoring drives. He told you that. We have a few one-play scoring drives, we'll be all right. We'll be okay. And truer words were never spoken.
Yeah, I mean, that's from an offensive perspective, and why not? Look, the Bucs are scoring at an incredible rate. I don't care if the defense is out there for 75 snaps if the Bucs are putting up these kind of points, Steve.
Well, here's one about defense for it. I'll let Steve chime in. I don't know if you heard this or not, Ira, but last Sunday, I don't know if this is the first time in NFL history, but I'm sure it hasn't happened a lot. There were more quarterbacks that threw for over 70% completion than less.
That goes to a bigger point about, you know, why this is a pass-happy league, Steve. I think the rules have gone too far in the other direction. They love the scoring. We understand that. But, Steve, you got to put more risk into throwing the ball. No wonder teams are running the ball 20 times a game instead of 30. Why should you when you can pick up gobs of yardage with very little risk?
It's still a real small sample size. Defenses will adjust. That's just the nature of defenses. It's one of the things that scares me about the Bucs offense. I mean, yes, they have all these weapons, and in theory, no team can cover all these guys, and the Bucs are healthy, but there will be adjustments made, and now we'll see what Cutter and Monken are made of within the talent they have. Because, you know, the Steelers aren't just going to do what everybody else did because it didn't work.
Yeah.
So they're going to look for their own thing that does work. But sure, the NFL wants the rules easier for quarterbacks. And Derek Brooks, who you've been doing Tampa 2 with, you know, he just repeats every single year that defense is bad in the first 2 weeks.
Especially tackling.
Because the tackling's off, the timing's off. And, you know, look at Quan Alexander. Bad first half against the Saints. He's been lights out since that first half. As far as tickets, Ira, you brought this up before. FanRetreat.com is your home to buy tickets online. FanRetreat.com, a secondary market ticket outlet. You can use your Joe Bucks Fan discount code. No problem there whatsoever. And it's not just Bucks tickets. It's Bucks tickets on the road. It is every NFL ticket, NHL, Major League Baseball, concert tickets. I haven't checked the Bette Midler schedule, Ira. But if she's coming to Tampa, we're paying for your tickets. I want a review on JoeBucksFan.com.
I hear Jerry Vail might be playing a little later at Emily Arena.
Ooh, that's really going back the way of that machine.
Oh, I thought he was playing at a local assisted living facility.
Nice, Steve.
Give me an idea what shallow life I lead. I'm not really bragging about this. I'm just going to say it. I saw the Scorpions Friday night. I swear I cannot remember. I think that's only the second. I moved down here in 98, spring of 98, March of 98. So I've been here 20 years.
20 years, baby.
I don't recall ever seeing a band outside of Van Halen and the Scorpions. Saw Van Halen twice, but I don't recall seeing another band. That's how sports-centric and football-centric
we got to expand the Kemper's horizons over here, Steve. We got time to do it. We'll do it.
FanRetreat.com. You can also get all your airline tickets there, your hotels, rental.
Cars,
not new cars. That's Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. But you can rent vehicles, plan your whole retreat. FanRetreat.com. And again, get your tickets there. They don't have all these fees that a lot of other sites have. You can price it right on your stadium map. Monday night, I already had a couple of thank yous from people, Ira, saying thanks for the Joe Bucks fan code. I used it going to the game. So,
Steve, you haven't mentioned the Bucks, quote, franchise quarterback, according to Lead the Kemper.
Yeah, well, we're going to hit
and
that.
And a man who I say is up in the air right now.
We're diving right into that. I wanted to let people know, in case they were wondering, because I looked it up while you were chatting, and this ties to another point from Brooks that I want to bring up. Fitzpatrick, in 2016 with the Jets, played horribly on Monday Night Football in his two appearances there. And the second one, he was actually relieved by Bryce Petty. And that was the end of Fitzpatrick with the Jets. And the previous year, though.
So that was the year after he went 10-6, right?
The year he went 10-6, he outdueled a healthy Andrew Luck and really put it to him. And they beat the Colts soundly. And so he's got the experience on Monday Night Football. He's got the good. He's got the bad. Derek Brooks talked about, I haven't written it yet, he talked about poison the noise.
Yeah, I love that phrase.
Which is a great line. Yeah. He said it a couple of times, poison the noise. And that's what the Bucks need. That's his, he felt, should be the mantra for this week, yes. Monday Night Football.
And you know he was saying that in the Buck locker room, you know, 15 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And you know Tomlin was there hearing it and saying the same thing. So, and the Steelers obviously have an incredible amount of experience in the bright lights. Every year they're playing three or four games. It was actually, I think, last year or the year before, the Steelers actually played three consecutive primetime games.
Wow.
And they weren't too happy about that. But the Bucks, as they're constructed now, do you think this team can handle the spotlight of Monday night just from how they perform? We know Jameis used to struggle coming in starts of games. He couldn't settle down. I don't know if Fitz will have that problem, but I don't know about the rest of the team.
Well, I'm fairly confident in that regard, Lee, and I'll tell you why. Because I like the way they handled week two. And it was in stark opposition to what's gone on around here the last 2 years. I understand those games were at Arizona and at Minnesota. They were road games. Week two, coming off a season opening win. But they didn't show up. They didn't show up for whatever reason. And it's not all because they were on the road. They weren't mentally ready for that game. They thought they were better than they were. They got full of themselves. They showed no poise in the noise. And everybody was jumping on their bandwagon after the New Orleans game. It wasn't just after the Philly game. So they got a lot of attention after week one, and they handled it well. They came out, and they went up 27-7. That's what they did. They outplayed Philly by a wide margin through three quarters and then had a little let up. Of course, you're playing the defending Super Bowl champs. No great shame there. Held on and made some plays at the end. A couple of key completions to Jackson and Evans that held them held off the Eagles. So I was impressed with their mental focus and the way they went into that game in week two, and I don't think that should change in week three.
Yeah, I hope not. I was talking to Dotson after Sunday's game, and I was asking him, something completely different. Matter of fact, I wrote the story this morning about, no, I didn't write the story. I'm going to write it about Justin Evans. That play he made, how he sold out at the end of Sunday's game. And I got a bunch of feedback on that, including Dotson. And in that interview, you know, Dotson's interview, I interviewed him. In that interview, he said, I'm glad how we handled coming back from the New Orleans win. Something to that effect, yes. Which is what you're saying.
Yeah.
And he's the one that told Steve 2 years ago, or no, excuse me, last year was it in Arizona?
2 years ago.
2 years ago in Arizona, how the team, you know, they thought they had everything figured out after one win.
After going up to Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, Steve, speaking of Dotson, we'll talk about this in some future podcasts, not today, but I think he's going to become a big storyline because he opened the season against Cam Jordan and did a very nice job.
Yeah.
Had some help. Last week, Michael Bennett was lining up sometimes at left defensive end.
You didn't hear
end.
About Bennett, did you?
You didn't hear about him. This week, there's T.J. Watt, I believe, is on the Steelers. He had four sacks I believe, in week one. He might go Dotson's way. And then look who's on the horizon on the shores of Lake Michigan like DeKemper likes to say. A guy by the name of Khalil Mack, who often lines up at left defensive end. So going forward, if the Bucs keep a nice pocket for Fitzpatrick, we're going to have to give Dotson a good part of the credit for that.
Yeah, he's doing a nice job. One of the stories I wrote.
And this is a guy who came into the season maybe not 100%.
Exactly. You're a guy, yeah. I wrote in one of my stories about the Eagles game. I can't remember which one, but I mentioned Michael Bennett in parentheses. Yeah, he was on the field. You didn't know.
Didn't notice him.
His name.
Didn't notice him.
All right, Sage. He actually think he had a couple of quarterback hits in that game. He leveled Fitzpatrick pretty early. And one that I didn't think he was going to get up from, but Fitzpatrick, to his credit, got up from all the hits.
But he's a top-notch player.
Absolutely. No slight on Dotson whatsoever. All right, Sage, a couple of things. Your podcast, Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, this is where you can subscribe to it, and you get a free alert right in your phone when it posts and publishes, and you can listen to it that way. Or, of course, listen to it right on JoeBucksFan.com.
Don't forget your comments. Don't forget your comments.
A couple of nice ones on Podbean I saw came in, Ira. And right there, Google rankings, you are back and much higher. You've stormed.
Am I still next to Nancy Grace over there?
I'm looking as we speak, and considering it's late Thursday morning, this is a very accurate look. No, you are not. Let's see if you've passed her. You have. Nancy Grace is about 20 slots behind you. She's one slot behind PFT Live with Mike Florio. So
Nancy
how about
Grace
that?
Belongs 20 slots behind Florio. Me, Lee.
Florio was gaining on you, apparently.
She's
but.
Right there, inside, wedged between him and NASCAR and NBC podcast.
There
there you go, Ira. All right.
What's Ira ranked overall?
Well, he's on, looks
Google.
Like,
Google
417 right now. 17.
That's strong.
Well done, Sage. Well
thank
done.
You, thank you.
All right. So that's how you can listen to the podcast. Of course, support our great sponsors, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon.
And let me say up front, it's the chemistry between the three of us. I know my name's on the podcast, but it doesn't happen without the three
of
us.
Are you sure it's not your picture and the logo of the podcast?
It's the chemistry, gentlemen.
It's you two guys, because there's no question of people who the most unpopular person is me. No question about it, man. There's this guy.
This ain't a popularity contest, DeKemper.
There's this guy. I think a week doesn't go by that he doesn't complain and whine about how I'm on here. I drag down the show.
I want you in that seat, DeKemper. never mind.
It's so silly. Another listener who says it drags it down. Then stop listening if you don't like it so much. All right.
Or fast forward.
What's silly, on your mind, Steve? What's
silly,
on your mind?
Silly stuff. But yeah, Lee seems to get the black hat. I'm not sure. The villain of the podcast. All right. Ira, look, Jameis Winston lawsuit comes down yesterday, federal court. The Uber driver is now the Uber civil suit plaintiff, and she's coming after Jameis on a couple levels. There's no number on the suit because they're going to let the court decide what the damages are. There's punitive. There's directly sexual assault in the lawsuit as it's categorized in the court. And one of the more interesting things of this is that the statute of limitations was extended and agreed to, the Tampa Bay Times reported, by Jameis, which means that the 3 years was the statute of limitations on this thing, and that would have ended March of two years would have ended March of 2018.
Right.
But Jameis and the accuser agreed to extend the statute of limitations, which if you read into it, sort of means that, hey, they told Jameis, we'll sue you in March, or you agree to extend it. And Jameis probably wanted to extend it to let the NFL stuff flush out first and save himself that way. So Jameis agreeing to that, I don't know. I'm not a legal expert, but that's kind of wacky and messy right there. I don't know what's going to happen, because with this thing, Ira, it's old news, right? But the lawsuit keeps it alive. And if he doesn't want to settle, then you've got this cloud hanging over the franchise and a lawyer who can throw things out on any day of the week and make Winston look bad. And it's going to stay in the news. And you know what? Distractions for a football team that might be a legit playoff contender and might be a big time contender if they win on Monday night. That's bad for this team. And I don't know where it's going to go. What are your thoughts?
Slow down, Isbits. Slow down. Lee, is there anything about what happened this week that is surprising? Absolutely not.
No,
absolutely not. This thing was destined to end like this the moment that John Kloon was contacted. That's just the way it is. I'm not defending Jameis Winston. I think the preponderance of the evidence is that he did it. He has no defense. He can't remember. And they found her credible. That's a separate issue. He was going to get this civil lawsuit. It was going to happen. The timing looks a little dicey, looks a little suspicious. She's going to get her money. Kloon's going to get his money. And you'll never hear about it again. Just the same thing with Kinsman. It's never going to trial. Winston ain't going to testify about anything that happens, mostly because he doesn't know what happened. And I don't think this should affect the way that this team looks at Winston one iota. And as far as fans, they've made up their mind already about getting rid of him, or I support him. And this isn't going to change it either. So with all of Isbitz's histrionics and drama, Lee, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. Either Winston's going to get his job back or not. Either he's going to perform well or not. And the civil suit's going to go away just like the other one did.
I'm going to talk about a window again, but this isn't your basement. The window was into the Bucks locker room. Did you see Sean Jensen's Twitter last night, Steve?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't.
I really can't repeat it on a podcast because it's a family podcast, but I'm pretty sure
I hope he didn't take a pot shot at the accuser.
Big time.
Sean Jensen being Brian Jensen's brother.
Ryan Jensen's brother. Big time shot.
We don't need that. We
don't need that, but I again, that's a window, I think, into, we're talking about, we're trying to drum up the distraction things.
I'm not trying to drum anything up. I think it's a reality.
One of the things that jumped out at me, Lee, tell me, you read the letter. You read the statement from Kloon. And by the way, she didn't pick his name out of a phone book. This guy's in Colorado. She's in Arizona.
You're backing me up here. You're taking my words out of my mouth.
So, Lee, you guys tell me. One of the things that jumped out at me, I've never seen this before, in talking about the damages and this and that. Future therapy sessions?
Oh, yeah. Give me
future?
A break. Give me a break.
Do you really have to put that in? That doesn't look good.
I'm probably going to get a lawsuit from what I'm going to say about this Clooney character. This guy's a glorified ambulance chaser. The minute, was it 3 days after this story came out on BuzzFeed, here it comes Clooney. Like all the freaking lawyers in
Kloon.
America.
Might be Kloon. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
As Archie Bunker would say, whatever.
Lee, you'd have to say he's good at his job, Steve. He's good at his
job.
He represents his client.
Ira, you're focusing on the lawyer. You're focusing on stuff. I'm focusing on the football team, and I think you're living in a dream world. Let me ask you
Civil suit's not going to affect in any way the way Mike Evans is going to look at Jameis Winston.
Let me ask you this. Ira, let's play in the real world here, okay? Let me ask you this. Why isn't this settled already? Why didn't Jameis and the Buccaneers and the Glazers and the NFL together make this thing go away already?
I can answer that real quick.
Sure.
And you wrote about it. Jameis had idiots representing him.
The NFL and the Glazers are not idiots. Jameis maybe personally, but this is a team issue. And
Steve, are you debating that this thing's going to go away?
Are you debating that? No, I'm not debating that at all. But what I'm saying is, this lawsuit was filed this week. Let's go back 2 weeks ago, okay? Kloon, the lawyer, most likely 99% was basically, we can be intelligent people and say he was saying, look, Jameis, we're going to file if we don't get X by this date. Why did this thing not go away? When the Glazers don't want this out there. You know it's a bad look.
It's a bad look.
It's a perception game.
Yeah.
Jameis doesn't want it out there.
Didn't go away. And for the folks at home listening or in your car, I'm holding up my wallet. Well, that's why this hasn't gone away.
They have plenty of money. Look, Jameis made a much worse thing go, or you know, made a worse accusation go away with a previous civil suit. So why isn't this going away? There's not a lot of money here.
I understand, Steve, but it's going to be settled, and you're not going to hear
about
it.
We don't know what the agreement was. They could have, there might, you know, we don't know. Here's what I do know. Three days after that BuzzFeed story came out, here comes that ambulance chaser. I mean, civil litigator from Colorado. All the freaking lawyers she could hire. All the lawyers in America. Him? It was a shakedown from the word go.
Well, you're not saying he didn't do it, Lee. You're not saying and I'm not excusing it if he did do it. I'm not excusing
it. It was a shakedown. It was a money grab, whatever you want to call it, from the word go.
Steve, the real story.
But if it's a shakedown and a money grab and Jameis doesn't want to settle it, if he doesn't want to make it go away in the way we would probably want him to.
He can't remember, Steve.
Ira, it doesn't matter. I'm talking about if this thing drags on, and here it is, he's about to come back and it's alive and well. If it drags on, it's illogical to think that it's not going to have an effect on the perception of the team and the mindset around the team and people talking about it, and nobody wants that, but yet it's still here.
How's he going to fight it, Steve, when he's already told the NFL he can't remember what happened?
He's doomed.
How are you going to fight it?
Then why is it still alive? Just pay the money.
Well, he's going to.
Pay the money?
Yeah,
okay.
You know, I hope he does.
If the Bucks play well, he's going to get his contract with the Bucks. So whatever the checks, he can afford the check. Let's put
Steve,
it that way.
You're avoiding the big issue, which is what's going on with Winston and the number one quarterback job.
I'm not avoiding it. You're right about it every day.
And I'm going to get all right. I'm going to throw my two cents in.
Sure.
You know, here's the question: what is the criteria for Winston to get that job back? What is the criteria? Well, obviously, it's for Fitzpatrick to falter and the team to falter. What does that mean? I'll throw this out as an opening gambit. You guys can jump on it, and I know Isbitz will.
I already have my answer.
I wait for a two-game losing streak. I wait for a two-game losing streak. I go to Winston. Once I go to Winston, he never comes out. Winston stays in. He never comes out.
Fair.
Because by doing that, I have a gauge on Jameis Winston going into 2019. I can't have Jameis Winston playing three games this year. And the Bucks finishing at 8-8.
That's fair.
Can't do that. So I just came up with this two-game losing streak, you know, barring an injury, of course,
sure,
to Fitzpatrick. Lee, do you think one bad game from Fitzpatrick in Chicago, say, would automatically get Winston back in that job? Would you do that? I could see both sides here.
I could see it happening. Whether it's fair or not, I lean toward no. But
would you give Fitzpatrick more than one poor game, more than one?
I don't know how to answer that, and I'm not trying to dodge the question. I mean, every piece of information, every piece of history says Jameis is the guy, but look what Fitzpatrick is doing. Again, and the people who covered Fitzpatrick in the past, people that covered the Jets, people that covered the Bills, like, this guy's going to turn into a pumpkin, and his career suggests that.
Yes.
I don't know how to answer that because I don't know what the mindset of Cutter and those guys are. I can make an argument either way. It could be a logical argument. I don't know what I do think, and I wasn't talking to you about this. I may have been talking to Steve, but I don't think so. I'm starting to lose it with my memory, man. I really am. But anyway, I was talking to somebody about this the other night, and it almost sounds sick, but it's almost like they're setting Fitzpatrick up. What I'm about to say is nothing malicious, but it's almost like they're setting Fitzpatrick up to fail against the Bears because the Bears' defense is so good. They don't want Jameis to come out cold, play against the Bears, and have a rotten game, and who knows what happens after that. Whereas Fitzpatrick, it's almost like he's cannon fodder.
Well, I mean, you don't go into a game at Chicago the way the Bucs are playing right now, Steve, thinking you can't win that game.
True.
I mean, you can't do that. What, Steve, what makes this thing dicey, and I think you'd finally agree with me on something, what makes this so crazy is that we're talking about the number one overall pick in the draft that year, 2015. This ain't the guy who was taken 22nd, you know, who hasn't done much, and then there's not this kind of uproar. When's this guy going to get it? This guy's the number one pick in the draft, and he's been a starter for 3 years. And I don't think he's going to start against Chicago, Winston. I think that's highly unlikely. Even if Fitzpatrick loses Monday night. I don't think Winston plays week four. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. But, Steve, one of the overarching storylines of this season, overarching, is to make a decision on Jameis Winston. Make a decision. And that's why the dynamics of this whole thing are so crazy.
You keep saying that, and I get it. But I think the fact that he's the number one overall pick, I think, you know, I know you don't like when I use this phrase, but that's ancient history to the mindset here. Well, number one, 14th overall, 18th overall, second round pick. They need to make a decision. Doesn't matter where he was picked at this point.
But they put a lot of resources into Jameis Winston. They've called.
I understand,
him the
but that's all in the past for this team. You know, they get rid of guys that they've invested in all
what
the time.
What about Lee's point? Fitzpatrick's resume suggests he's going to come back to earth and sooner rather than later. Do you disagree?
Well, most quarterbacks and players do come back to earth, but the team can't operate on that assumption that he's going to fail when he's playing well. So, to me, I just think you leave him in.
You ride him.
Until you're out of first place. And if you think that through, it makes sense. Because after this week, they're still in first place. They go to Chicago. If they're out of first place, then they lost two in a row, go to Jameis. But if you keep going and you're in first place, that means your chemistry's good. And why would you possibly want to mess that up? And if he can ride first place the rest of the year.
That's not a bad way to look at it, Lee.
If he can ride first place the rest of the year, then obviously you did not make a mistake. Right? If they go 10-6 and they're in first place going into the playoffs and they got a home game in the playoffs, you made the right decision.
And then you decide about Winston.
And then you go from there. So just ride first place.
I read something interesting last night. I linked to it Thursday morning on JoeBucksFan.com. If you take Ryan Fitzpatrick's three best seasons, just three best seasons, it doesn't have to be consecutive, three best seasons, he still has lesser stats than Jameis does for Jameis' career.
He's never had weapons like this.
Jameis never had weapons like this.
He did last year.
Well, Godwin's got his second year under his belt. He's better than he was last year.
I understand.
Yeah, they're better this year, Ira, just on the growth of Godwin and Howard. But it's all about this year. The coaching staff, the guys upstairs from this room that we're getting bugged in, they just care about this year. And if they're winning, you know, as they keep ticking off wins here, jobs get more secure and mindsets change.
And everybody wins.
And everybody wins.
I'm going to ask you something, Ira. Now, up front, I'm going to say this almost sounds absurd. But the more I think about it, it may not be as absurd as I initially thought. And it gets to Steve's point about distractions. You were talking in the last podcast, if I remember correctly, that Fitzpatrick putting on the shades and DeSean Jackson's bling and his gear is a great distraction to pull the spotlight off the players. Could someone argue the same thing about Jameis' lawsuit? That's a distraction. That's pulling the spotlight off the team.
It's not a surprise. I mean, I would have been surprised if there was no civil lawsuit.
Yeah, that's true. But there's still a distraction, surprise or not. You know,
I don't think it's going to linger, Steve. I just don't think
this
thing's going to linger.
I hope not. I hope he pays, but because that's really where he's backed into. I'm just surprised he didn't pay already. So I am surprised about the lawsuit because unless there's some outrageous number on this thing, Jameis could have paid it, and he'd also have a lot of help, I would think, from the men upstairs. You know, when you get a civil lawsuit, they don't ask you, well, who helped you pay the money, right? I mean, it's an investment by these guys upstairs who don't want this thing lingering, and the NFL was in the mix here, too. They don't want it. I don't know. I'm surprised that we're at where we are.
Is everybody sitting at this table on board with the question of when Winston gets his starting job back is going to be a discussion that goes beyond Jason Light and Dirk Cutter. Does everybody agree with that, Steve? Ownership will have a say, not an order, but a say, or am I stretching?
It's called 20 Million Reasons.
It's an organizational decision.
It is, and I think the downside of waiting a long time with Jameis is because the guy's going to get rusty. If he comes in week 10... I don't know what that's going to look like. How rusty is this guy going to be? His confidence might be shot. And
of course, he's going to be holding a clipboard.
You know, he's not
week.
A professional backup quarterback like Fitzpatrick is. So a lot of elements here. We just want to see W's. Sage, I will let you take this podcast out into the horizon. I'm not even going to respond. We've got our picks in. We're back with a special podcast next Tuesday because we're going to stay late, right, Ira, on Monday Night Football.
Yes, we are.
And cut our podcast into the wee hours and throw it right up. So next Tuesday morning, you'll hear fresh Sage out of the game.
And some stuff coming out of the locker room.
Well, we'll have it all. Yeah, we'll have all the juice. All right, Ira, take us out of here.
All right. buck fever is so rampant, Lee, that we haven't even talked about another part of Monday night's game, which is Dungy going into the Ring of Honor at halftime. Dungy, who grew up with Chuck Knoll as his mentor and played professionally for the Steelers and coached in Pittsburgh under Knoll, and who considers Knoll the guy that shaped his philosophy about football, if not life itself. And Dungy's going to be out there, and on the other side is Mike Tomlin. And Dungy's going to be rooting like heck for the Bucks. For the Bucks. He lives here in Tampa. He's a Tampa guy. He's a Buck guy. He still talks to players on the team. And I just think all the elements are there Monday night for an extravaganza. We're going to be there. We're lucky. We got the parking pass, and we got the tickets. We're blessed. We admit that up front. But I think anybody that shows up Monday night, they're in for a wild and thrilling time. And I'm out of here.